Take with me your Bibles in your hands and turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We are reading through Paul's letter to Timothy, and we are now at chapter 5. We'll read starting in verse 1, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. This is God's Word. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed, who has been left alone, has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasures and is dead even while she lives, prescribe these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires and disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation, because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle, as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, "You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages." Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of His chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality. Do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. No longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some men are quite evident, going before them to judgment. For others, their sins follow after. Likewise, also deeds that are good are quite evident, and those which are otherwise cannot be concealed. Well, that is God's Word. Here we are laid before us the manner of how we are to rebuke each other with God's Word. In our different ages, it's set before us there in verses 1 and 2. And then with this long section addressed to widows, verses 3 through 16. But not just to widows. It's addressed to women, all women. And it's addressed to also the church or the elders and deacons. But women especially. Whether you're a widow or not, you should be looking at this section in, which teaches you how you are to live. This is holiness for a woman. It teaches you how to prepare for the time when you may be a widow. And we know that men typically don't live as long as women, so there's a good possibility that each woman here will be a widow at some time. And you aren't to wait until you your husband dies or departs from you. You aren't to wait till your husband dies and then look at this section of Scripture and say, okay, what do I need to do now? Women, whether the child, girl, or all the way to the oldest of women, you are to look at this section and say, and look at it and see, you be this woman of verse 5, who has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. You see, the description of this woman, it's not a description when she became a widow, it's when throughout her whole life, how she is described. Who is to be put on the list of verse 9? The one who's on the list is the one who's taken care of by the church. It's the one who has a reputation. It's a long-standing thing. A reputation for good works. She's brought up children. She has shown hospitality to strangers. And she has washed the saints' feet. She's served the church. She has assisted those in distress. She has devoted herself to every good work. Verse 13, she's not a gossip. She's not a busybody. She's not idle. Now, this is the woman who is holy. And that's the picture of the woman here. So women, look carefully at this section of Scripture. Go to it often. Meditate on it. Mumble it. Repeat it back to yourself over and over, that God's Word would infiltrate into your heart. And this would be you. And then you look at this, not only that it's made about women generally, as it has to do with widows specifically, but that women are to take care of those widows in their own family. It's the widow, the husband dies and there's a widow. And her family's still there. She's still able to support. Then a woman is to step in from that family. Verse 16, you see it. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them. And the church must not be burdened. You see something there in verse 8 as well. As it has to do with each family. As it has to do with the fifth commandment. If anyone does not provide for his own, even for the widow, who is in their own household, especially those of their own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So, Paul instructs us here about how all women are to live, and also how we look to and deal with widows. And then he goes on. Well, this also applies to deacons, especially how the deacons are supposed to look after the widows who are on the list, who are over 60 years old. They're not to get married again if they choose not to do so. And they are this woman described here, this holy woman. Then the church is to take care of her, specifically the deacon physically, and the elders spiritually to watch after her. So those are the officer's responsibility. And then you see verses 17 through 25, the second half of the chapter, where Paul instructs elders of the church. And first, you see verse 17 and 18, the honor that is due to elders who rule well and the compensation they should receive. Verses 19 through 21 show how a proper procedure for bringing charges against an elder when an elder has sinned. What are the proper ways to go about that? And then finally, verses 22 through 25 gives warning to elders that there should be care and patience in ordaining new elders. Take great care, because if you don't, you see the warning there. The sins of some, verse 24, the sins of some men are quite evident going before them. That's the wrong one. 22, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. So we should be careful in who we ordain. And this chapter, especially as it has to do with the elders, the last section, this is not just a secondary list of topics. It's not just a subsidiary thing. This is vital to the church. We've seen in the context of false teachers, which you've already read about. We should be careful as elders, especially who we ordain in these things that deal with the leadership of His church. So let us take these into consideration as we move forward in His kingdom and do all things for His glory.